In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A verse from our first lesson from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn and observe them diligently. In January 1561, Queen Elizabeth sent a letter to her ecclesiastical commissioners complaining of the desolate and unclean state of many church buildings. Stripped of the colourful textiles and stained glass, the painted screens and images which had been common in the years before the Reformation, and with Protestant whitewash obscuring the frescoes on the walls, church interiors had become dreary, with little to delight the eye or edify the spirit. The Queen ordered that tables of the Ten Commandments should be set up, not only to instruct the worshipper, but, I quote, to give some comely ornament and demonstration that the same was a place of religion and prayer. The authorities duly complied. Painted boards with the text of the commandments were set up, often where the rood, the crucified Jesus with figures of Mary and John to either side, had stood above the screen. A statute of 1604 confirmed the order, and thereafter, artists and craftsmen applied their skills to fashioning elaborate screens to stand against the east wall behind the altar, with a central panel on which the commandments, or Decalogue as they were known, were painted. Often they were accompanied by the Lord's Prayer and the Creed, so the worshipper had a convenient summary of the articles of the Christian faith, and the children of the parish had a visual aid as they sought to rehearse their catechism before the congregation on Sunday afternoons. By the later 17th century, these screens or reredoses were frequently decorated with angels and cherubim, columns, pilasters, and urns. Sunday by Sunday, members of the congregation were reminded of the foundations of their faith. For the commandments, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson, embody the call of duty to God and neighbor. Fidelity to the one God who revealed himself to Abraham and Moses, and observance of his statutes, especially by keeping the Sabbath day holy. Honouring parents and behaving responsibly towards one's neighbour. This was the whole duty of man. And the communities who gathered to worship, who gazed on the words set up in a prominent position in their parish church, and heard them read in the introduction to the communion service, had that duty impressed upon them. The Christian Church inherited the Decalogue from its forebears in the faith, the Jews. The Jewish scriptures became our Old Testament, to be honoured as part of our common heritage of faith. The words of scripture were to be searched for the prophecies which foretold the coming of Jesus the Messiah, and the Jewish law was to be observed as a lantern or beacon to illuminate the path of obedient faith. Yet the Christian view of the law was subtly different from that of the Jews, as the New Testament writings make clear. Jesus himself had had hard things to say about the law and the manner in which it was observed by the Jews of his day. Paul struggled with the theological implications of the inauguration of the new covenant for the old. Time and time again, the relationship between law and faith was at the heart of Paul's controversy with his former co-religionists. Paul honoured and revered the law. But even more did he honour and revere the saving work of God in Jesus Christ. And he believed that when the Jewish law, or the way in which it was interpreted and practiced, ran counter to the Christian revelation, it must be set aside. If the law led men and women to love God and neighbour better, to serve their interests rather than their own, and to bear witness to the transforming power of the gospel, Paul was all for it. But if the law proved a dead thing, seen as an end in itself, a means of ticking a box to demonstrate one's piety to others, then Paul had no time for it. Essentially, this was the same view as the Gospels attribute to Jesus when he attacked the sort of legalism that justified denying parents the material support they needed or encouraged a straining after gnats, while the spirit of the law, its compassion, generosity and practicality, neglected. Both Jesus and Paul taught that if the observance of the law did not promote and foster love, then the so-called religious were no more than noisy gongs or clanging cymbals. We need the commandments, a framework for Christian living, a guide to our obligations to God and neighbour. Those old commandment boards in our churches played their part in shaping the life of the parish communities who assembled around them. But as Jesus taught, none of this matters unless the fruit of obedience is that divinely inspired love which alone can transform lives and reveal the kingdom of God among us. As Paul wrote, once he had dismissed the distracting gongs and cymbals, "And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." Amen. Let us pray. We pray for ourselves that the law of grace may prevail in our lives and that we may be open to God's grace rather than to a narrow obedience to the law in the Scriptures. Almighty God, who has taught us in thy holy word that the law was given by Moses, but that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, grant that we, being not under the law but under grace, may live as children of that Jerusalem which is above, and rejoice in the freedom of our heavenly citizenship, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for all in our nation who are responsible for the administration of civil law, for our judges and magistrates, for all those who plead in the courts. We pray for impartiality and wisdom. O God, mighty and merciful, the judge of all, grant to those who minister justice the spirit of wisdom and discernment, and that they may be strong and patient, upright and compassionate. Fill them, we beseech thee, with the spirit of thy holy fear, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the peace of God's world, for all those who suffer, especially at this time in the Middle East and North Africa, as a result of war and terrorism, and we pray that a way may be found to reconciliation, peace, and justice. O God of love, look in thy mercy, we pray thee, upon the nations of the world, and unite them in the bonds of peace. Strengthen the love of righteousness and freedom among all peoples, and bring the whole earth into obedience to thy reign, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We gather our prayers together as we say the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.